Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out the crack. Walking
around the final second, the whistle is gone, and Sligo Rovers are the champions.
By the riverside, it can match the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Gary Guyton and Verizon playing out over the fence. Out in there, he's a Cotton. Jesus,
finally. Season 2, lads, we're back.
We're back.
Adrian Partland, Russell Boyle, Ronan O'Maherty, how are you, lads?
Yeah, good. We blew a little bit of white smoke from time to time. Yeah. We're finally back, though.
Could have been back 6 weeks ago, but there was a stint in the Priory Clinic for myself. but good to be back, lads. How was pre-season?
Yeah, brilliant. Great to have a bit of sport back now. Like, you can see it now with the weekends, local, national, international, it's all back.
A lot of hard work done. I went for elocution lessons over the pre-season myself, so I'm really looking forward to sharing my vocabulary with the world.
Build your word power.
Yeah.
With Reader's Digest.
Let's hope we've no second season syndrome, lads.
Yeah, look, we just do our best.
It's hit many's a team and podcast, I'm sure.
Well, look, we'll know after an episode or two.
Sheffield United, that's kind of what we try to...
Exactly.
We're trying to avoid that.
Yeah, Ipswich Town back in the early 2000s. We could go on. Wexford Utes. So, what have you got for the new season, lads? Any new ideas or anything?
I was kind of hoping you were going to give us something.
I have one, but we all suggest... I mentioned it before in the teaser podcast. Pitch ideas, Alan Partridge style, for new shows. So, my one is... McSherry, it's called, where Mona McSherry and Mark McSherry TD swap jobs. So Mona will do a week in the Dáil and Mark will be a college freshman over in Tennessee.
So you can trust him.
Yeah. So we'll document how he gets on over there at the frat parties and things.
And no, Mona, I can't top that. That's
my idea.
So swap a job.
You can, yeah, really, yeah, yeah. But that's, yeah, so I pitched that to the BBC.
They're mulling over that thought with a dictaphone. Thought for myself. McSherry.
Yeah, very much like Alan Partridge. Completely stolen from Alan Partridge, you might say. But yeah, lads, great to have sport back, isn't it? It's. We were kind of, someone said, well, it was your brother said to me on Sunday morning, Marty, I was chatting him, and he was asking about the podcast, and he said, yeah, we were waiting to get the sport back, and he said, yeah, it's great, because... you kind of were stuck for content for the last few shows, and it became nearly a show about Sligo Town characters.
we went a bit off track at the end, but...
time and a place for that now, but hopefully we get a bit more...
Well, I think a mix of sport and Sligo Town characters.
Yeah, I'm very much up for that.
A nice mix now. At the end, I'd say we're just telling stories.
But we're nearly... everything's nearly back. Yeah. Rugby's probably the only one that's not, Ross.
Yeah, but like there's signs of life there.
Yeah.
Yeah, do something over the summer.
Intercounty GA is back in the pitch. Everyone's training. Junior soccer's training. We'll get into all that. But first of all, lads, we had our first Olympian on the show, Mona McSherry.
Yeah, it was a landmark moment for us, really.
It was. I was very nervous.
You were very nervous. So nervous, in fact, that you left me for the first 5 minutes of the interview. we'll just go into this right now. So basically, we were rushing back from Carrick and Leitrim Village, actually.
No, it wasn't even Leitrim Village. It was the back house and oars between... Drumshambo and Leitrim Village.
I asked Adrian, could I borrow his strength to help me deliver a bar to a private dwelling in Carrick and Shannon? So we were pushing it fine.
It wasn't Carrick and Shannon, first of all. It was a go on.
Murta's bar.
It's in the heartland of Leitrim, anyways.
And we were rushing back to make our 7 o'clock deadline. It was our first interview of notes, so we didn't want to be late. We were mulling over the idea of texting Mona saying we're going to be 15 minutes late, but we said no, we'd burst on. And we got back to the office and set everything up, got online at 7 o'clock, and then literally pops up on the screen, Mona McSharry is waiting to be admitted to the room. So I was like, yeah, Thunderbirds are go. I look over to Adrian, a look of terror in his face. He said he needed to relieve himself in the bathroom.
Well, first of all, I said leaving Clooney, we're under pressure for time, and I said, look, I have to go to the toilet, and he go, oh no, we'll be late. So 2 hours I was holding it in, so I don't care if I left her 5 minutes.
No, fair enough, yeah. So, and we just spent it, because how do we talk here? Like, you know, this is, you know, a bit out of our league here, a couple of middle 30-aged men talking to a 21-year-old Olympian. So anyways, I said, like, I can't keep her waiting, so let Adrian head off, and we took her online. So four lovely minutes of small talk. Let her know that Adrian was downstairs getting a glass of water.
Of course,
he's just so nervous.
I could hear when I came upstairs. Oh, here he is now. Oh, great, we'll get started.
I put on my really, you know that kind of the fancy voice you put on the phone sometimes. Yeah, I had that voice on. So,
but come here, she was. There was no need to be nervous. She was very easy to talk to, and a great insight. We kept her only for about 15, 16 minutes, but I really enjoyed it. So we dive right into the pool here and straight into Mona. Okay, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Okay, we're joined by Mona McSharry.
Hi.
Hi, Mona. How are you? I was going to introduce you as a swimmer, but Olympic swimmer. How does that sound to you, Mona?
Oh, it sounds great. Couldn't be happier with that.
I'd say it was always the dream, was it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, any child getting into sport aspires to be an Olympian, and whether they make it, whether it's just a dream or they make it, you know, it's something that every kid has at the top there, and it's great that I get to fulfill that dream.
Yeah, it might go back to the start, and I suppose talking about the dream, was it always swimming for you, Mona? Or what age did you get into it?
I started learning how to swim when I was 5, but I grew up beside the sea. So even before then, I had gone on, you know, holidays to different places, and I've always spent time in the sea. So I think from when I was born, water has just always been the place that I love to have fun and I guess train as well and compete now.
Okay. And how, so you're from Grange. So what I, well, I'm presuming that was Mullaghmore and Strigach where you, would have honed your skills, maybe?
Yeah, Strigach. We're our house is set just looking out onto Strigach, and we can go down behind it and stuff and swim there in the back, which is just great. So it's lovely.
That's lovely. Ross, you used to do a bit of swimming out in Mullaghmore.
Yeah, I would have grown up in Mullaghmore now. Unfortunately, it didn't take me in the same direction as yourself. But still a pretty awesome place.
Yeah, definitely.
So when, Mona, I suppose, when did the swimming become competitive for you? Marilyn and Ballyshannon is your club.
Yeah, it is. I'm now at the University of Tennessee, but before that it was always Marilyn's. I guess like before then, even learning how to swim, I competed in the community games, like a lot of young kids, and I really enjoyed competing there, and then that kind of just fed into joining the Marilyn Swim Club and then competing at other competitions and working my way up and seeing that I could move through the levels and, you know, enjoying it more. And then I kind of just got a love for it, I guess, along the way.
And is it true that you purposely went to Ballyshannon Secondary School instead of the more local Grange? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I remember being in, you know, fifth class and even fourth class and saying, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to Grange. Like it's, you know, it's a cycle away from my house and I can walk home for lunch. And then it came to sixth class and making the decision, and all of a sudden I decided that Ballyshannon was the better place to go. And I think my mum helped me with that. It probably wasn't a decision all by myself, but it definitely worked out for the better.
Yeah. So you're definitely bitten by the bug at that young age, I suppose. And
yeah,
I suppose you were aware of the commitment that was needed, because that would have been training before school, would it have been?
Yeah, no, it would have been training before school at that point, and probably not after school yet, but that would have fed into it afterwards too. So it worked out a lot better.
Yeah, that's serious commitment at a young age.
you didn't, you had no problem with that. Obviously, you enjoyed it so much that it didn't feel like a hindrance to you or overcommitment, did it?
No, not really. I remember moving from, you know, swimming in the juniors who train in the evening and moving to the morning sessions. And it felt like it was really cool to, you know, now be a senior swimmer, because I was on in the seniors swim in the morning before school. And that was really enjoyable to me. And then, yeah, I always like working out in the morning and getting it done, while a majority of people are only trying to wake up and I've already done a full 2 hours swim session. It's great.
I was definitely still in the bed anyways.
It's a big commitment.
What was that? So what's going on next? So secondary school and the swimming is obviously a massive part of your life, but and you mentioned you're in the University of Tennessee at the minute. So was the aim always the States, really, to further your swimming career?
Probably not when I was 12 or 13, but then looking forward, I think when I was 15, 16, I started to realize that that was an option for me. And my coach, Grace, she has sisters who now live in America. And I think she kind of put that bug into my head as well and kind of showed me that that was an option for me. And I'm so glad she did, because then in 2017 I started to get offers from different colleges, and I still would have been quite young at that stage, but it kind of just showed me that was where I guess from that point I kind of decided that, like, I wanted to go to America, and definitely college over there was the right decision.
You mentioned 2017 with the offers coming in. Was that before or after the Junior World Championships? You won the 100 meter breaststroke, that's right.
Yeah, that was after the World Junior Championships. They started flowing in, I guess, because...
How big was that to be a World Junior Champion? It must have been amazing.
It was amazing at the time. Like, being... Yeah, it's still amazing now, you know. I guess to be sitting there with, you know, US swimmers and Canadian swimmers, like, it's not just Europe, it's the whole world. Every country has put forth their top swimmers, and I won. So that's definitely something... Like, when you sit back and think about it, it's kind of crazy.
Sure is. Ross, anything there?
No, just one thing I wanted to kind of bring up, I suppose, just before you go into some of the more recent stuff, is Sligo the fittest family.
Ireland's.
So, Jesus, no, they became, they were. Ultimately, to go on, you have to be Sligo's fittest family first. you did your training with Sean Flannery. So I actually was just chatting to Margaret, Sean's partner, this morning, and I said, look, we're interviewing Mona later on, have you any funny stories or anything that we can bring up? And she goes, no, Ross, she's fairly driven and fairly professional, I don't have anything for you, and I don't know how it's going to blend with your style of show. So I was like, thanks, Margaret, that's fantastic.
That's funny.
So that must have been a good experience, and you were mentored by Donico Callan, I believe, was it?
Yeah, no, that was great. And like, it kind of came by that we got the opportunity to do it, because I had to take a couple of months off of training because of an illness, and then ended up not going anywhere that summer. And so we had time free to do Ireland's Fittest Family, and it kind of worked out in my favor in the end, because I did get to do this with my family, and it was really enjoyable and something different. And, you know, I'm still competing, but in a different atmosphere, I guess. And that was, it was really enjoyable. And we made a lot of friends and met other people, which is also great. And I love that about sport in general, is that you meet people from other places that you wouldn't meet otherwise.
Yeah, it must have been cool to just spend so much time with your family, because I suppose you'd be on the road quite a bit now and away from home. So as you said, it was a really good opportunity to get that time in and just do something really unique like that.
Yeah, definitely. And we all love to train and work out together. And I think that's, you know, that's something that we enjoy doing. And because of Ireland's Fittest Family, we did it a lot more with Sean Flannery. And that was also really nice.
Yeah, awesome. The show was going from strength to strength. It's very popular, so well done putting Sligo on the map again in a different sporting way. They must think that we're mighty stuff here in the Northwest.
how is college in the US? I suppose you haven't sampled college life in Ireland, but is it all we see in the movies? Is it frat parties and stuff like that? Or are you just concentrating on your...
It's interesting. Because of like what you anticipated to be, I guess, from movies and stuff. And I feel like COVID kind of affected that a little bit. It's definitely not all parties. We do a lot of training, and we do get to have some fun too. But
you can tell us Mona for his parties. We're not gonna we're cool guys.
But yeah, no, it's great. It's everything I hoped it would be and more. And, you know, that's partly because of the team I'm with. I know that not every college is the same, but where I base myself, I just love it. And I know I'm going to enjoy the next 4+ years there.
What's the American football and the basketball scene like there? Is like what the college teams are quite big.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't been to a football game this season because of COVID, but I did go to a basketball game and that was very enjoyable. And I lived in where I live this year, the dorms is where a lot of the football players and basketball players live. And I guess that was strange as well, walking around with guys that were then going to go and play football on the team. And, you know, we got to watch them train a bit too. And it's a bit strange, I guess, as well.
Yeah. And just you said basketball, American football there. No, I don't think American football was one of your other sports growing up. But was there any other sports that you did dabble with growing up?
Not really. You know, I've been pretty strictly a swimmer my whole life. I did a bit of running, but it was more to like feed for swimming. It wouldn't have been specifically for running. I've never been someone that's good at like hand-eye coordination, so all those ball sports were pretty much out the door for me. I just got hit in the face a lot. So I just got stuck with the swimming and a bit of running, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, Mona, I might move on to, well, I suppose the Olympics. You mentioned COVID, so obviously the Olympics is postponed from last year. But what was it on your radar last year to try and aim to qualify for the 2020? Yeah,
definitely. I finished secondary school in 2019 and decided to take a year out before the Olympics to just train solely because I was worried that if I moved to Tennessee, then I'd have to do a lot of adaptation. And, you know, it can go one of two ways. It can go really well, or it can take you a bit longer to adapt to a new style of training and a new home, I guess, as well. That was my original plan. Of course, when COVID happened and everything was postponed, I said to hell with it, I'm going to go to Tennessee and see how it goes. And it worked in my favor. But yeah, it was always on the charts for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably did work in your favor. Another year older, wiser and stronger, I suppose, maybe.
Yeah. But,
so back in April, you done it. You qualified. How was that? It feels a bit surreal to me, Ross. Like that, you're 20 and you're going to the Olympics. Like it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a bit strange. Honestly, when I did it, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, it's done. What's next? Kind of feeling, which is terrible, and I'm guilty of doing it all the time. You know, even winning medals or, you know, swimming a fast time that you've been striving for so long, and then the athlete in me is like, okay, well, we've done that, what's the next goal? And I think that's the way it was with the Olympics. I had pictured it so many times, like swimming the perfect race and winning and getting the FINA A standard, that when I did it, it was almost like I knew I was going to do it anyway, so it just happened. But at the same time, like thinking about it now and imagining that I am going to go to the Olympics is amazing. And you know, it's something that not too many people get the opportunity to do, and I'm blessed that, you know, the hard work has paid off and gotten me there.
It's funny you say that you've done it and then you're thinking, right, what's next? Because I was reading, I think it was about Pep Guardiola, the Man City manager, who won the league last week, and half an hour later they say, right, next year. So it's obviously something in athletes and top level professionals.
I remember listening to it, there was another podcast I was listening to last week, and they're talking about
not as good as ours,
but they're talking about a rugby player getting his first cap, and they were just saying, you know, listen, it's going to be such a blur, but like you really, really, really need to drink these moments in. Like, you know, you work so hard, and it was this fella giving advice to these fellas coming into the game. I was like, you probably might feel that you're nearly embarrassed to celebrate these moments because, you know, you're obviously so humble, but just the big thing was like really appreciate those moments because they are so special. So me and Adrian are telling you to appreciate the moments, Mona.
Yeah.
Nice muscle, old guys.
Muscle Olympians. Well, how crazy it was, right? How surreal it is, right? I'm in the Olympics. And then a few weeks later, another fellow from Grange qualifies for the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely madness. Like, yeah.
I know, it's great. There's something in the water in Grange, I'm telling you.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah. It's crazy. But so what is the plan from now until the Olympics? What is it, 8 weeks away or less than 8 weeks, is it?
No, it's more. It would be about 8 weeks, I guess. Yeah. That sounds crazy. A month and a half sounds longer than 8 weeks.
do you go to Tokyo early? Have you got I don't know what I'm trying to say. Have you got, like, is there any...
What's the plan, really?
Yeah. Well, for me, there's about a month and a half. There's about 8 weeks from now until we, I guess, head out to Tokyo. We'll probably fly out around the second week of July and then do a 2-week training camp about 3 hours away from the actual village. And then we're only allowed to fly into the village drive into the village 2 days before we race.
Oh, so, right.
So yeah.
Like Olympic Village.
And then the minute you're done competing, you have to be out of there. So it's going to be very closed shop. It's definitely not going to be like the other Olympics. Yeah. But, you know, before that, I'm hoping to go back to America and do a good month and a half of training. And then just, yeah, be prepared to race fast.
And is there any kind of cool perks since you've qualified? I'm wondering, like, is there like any in Olympic secrets that only the athletes know about, and you get like special gift packs or things?
I have not heard of anything.
A nice coffee cup with your name on it.
Will you get the Olympic tattoo?
Definitely. Yeah, that's for sure. I'll get it when I get back. Got to go first, and then I'll get it.
This week you're in Budapest.
Yes.
How's that been? You qualified for the final on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. It was really good. I only did I swam a relay on Monday and then the 100 breaststroke, and I have one more relay, and we're hoping that this relay might be able to qualify for the Olympics. So that would be really exciting. But yeah, the 100 breaststroke went really well. I swam the heat semis and finals, and they were all 106s, which is a time that, you know, if you'd told me a couple of months ago I was going to swim once, let alone three times within the space of, you know, just over 24 hours, I would have been over the moon. So yeah. I'm really happy with my performance. And, you know, to finish seventh in Europe is exciting for the Olympics too. You know, just shows that it just gives me a bit of confidence, I guess.
Definitely is, yeah.
Who would be your idols in sports? Any Olympic idols or?
They change all the time. It's weird because, like, some people I look up to and then they become my competitors, and of course I still look up to them, but it's a bit more difficult then. But I definitely look up to the likes of Lily King, who's the world record holder in the 100 breaststroke at the moment, and I'll be racing against her at the Olympics. You know, she's doing amazing. But I think one that's always kind of stood out to me is Katie Taylor. I've just always loved her and admired her, just from I was a really young age. I don't know, I guess, you know, she's Irish and she does really well at what she does, and she loves to work hard, and I can really like relate to that, I guess. So that's probably one that's kind of stood throughout.
Well, Mona, I think you're our Katie Taylor here in Sligo. I'm a bit jealous of you, but oh, look, that's great, Mona. Any else, Ross?
No, look, we said we'd just keep you for 10 minutes. I think we've kept you a bit more, but look,
that's
amazing. And you're obviously you're only getting started is what it feels like. And best of luck in the coming 8 weeks.
We're big supporters. We're on the bandwagon now. friend of the pod, Olympian, Mona McSherry, thank you very much.
Okay, lads, that was Mona McSherry.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, first Sligo Olympian, shelled it for about three weeks.
The old classic London bus.
Yeah, Chris O'Donnell.
Grange Water, she said.
It's unreal though. First from Sligo and then the second song. I never mind, he's from Sligo, he's from Grange as well.
We weren't claiming Jack B. Yates' gold medal in Ayrton in 1924, no?
Was there Ayrton in the Olympics in 1924?
Would you believe? Jack B. Yates is an Olympic. I've heard of people going to the Mass Olympics. No, this is another
collegiate grad.
I think Galway claim him for some reason. I'm not really sure what the story is there.
What did he draw?
That's a good question. This is kind of off the cuff here. Yeah. I may not be telling the truth, but I'm pretty sure it is true that he won a gold or silver medal in 1924.
For art in the Olympics.
For art in the Olympics, yeah.
New section, Murty's Art Palette.
Don Conroy.
We could have all got the Olympics with that.
Oh, with Mert.
I wouldn't. I was terrible. I didn't even get the true Sligo. You know, you see your qualification for the community games art in the school. I would never even get through the school. Yeah. Very, very poor. Or Fesh Kjol, even. Or Fesh, yeah.
Well, she had Mona had a good weekend as well. Had a good weekend. Got a new Irish record in the relay. So, fair play to her.
Yeah, she's up and coming. And, well, she's there. She's not up and coming anymore. She's going to the Olympics, so that'll be unreal. 20 years old is class. I seen today that the Japanese people don't want the Olympics.
No, they don't. They're very much
a few doctors come out and said it could like spiral everything out of control. So
yeah, but that's what she kind of alluded to as well, that they literally have to get in there. They're gone straight away. There's no stopping around, taking it in. Like, it's just literally you arrive there beforehand, you warm up, you're gone, you're out of there. There's no festivity. So it's nice for her to be there, but it'll be a very different Olympics. But yeah, she's young. She'd be around for more.
It won't be the Olympics, Jack. Be its witness. You
know, not in the... I'd love to know where it was in 1924 now.
Athens. Okay. Okay, we're going to come back with correspondence.
Hello, my name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, lads. A very popular part of the show last year, the correspondence. A few meshes in again overnight, was there?
There was, yeah. We put the call out last night and we got enough responses there now to get the ball rolling for the first episode.
I haven't looked through them properly, lads, so this will be off the cuff answering from me.
Put them into the WhatsApp there earlier.
Well, we'll start off with Gary O'Hare's one anyway. I think that was a little shout out to me and Edo, I think. But yeah. Just, hi lads, just wondering how the backs are holding up after Kerry and Ross O'Boyle through season one.
Very, very tough, Gary. Great question, Gary, by the way.
Lovely, yeah. Great to hear. My chiropractor is working double now. Yeah. They'll probably be billing that to power rate. It's a...
It was a long, hard slog with Ross.
And it will continue to be so.
Not turning microphones on and the
like. Ah, piss off.
Yeah, Gary, it was tough, but he's learning. He's learning the ropes. And we're going to send him to a special finishing school later. He's our social media man, by the way. So if you see anything on social media, it's Ross. Blame him if anything bad happens.
That's not necessarily true, but
we'll see. Kiki O'Grady asks, the big debate, the Twitter debate, the Sligo Leitrim Twitter page being stopped or cancelled. Cancel culture has hit Declan Baskill.
Yeah, it's
a woke Sligo community.
I'd say we'll probably get more into the Sligo Leitrim debate later on in this episode. But
yeah,
I think he just had to. I think he's changed the official name.
I think his name is Sligo Leitrim Soccer.
Soccer, yeah. But it is actually a good service there on a Sunday, because I know ourselves we had stopped our Twitter account there about 5 years ago.
For any reason?
Laziness, I'd say.
Okay.
But then when Decky put out the call for clubs, you know, because it's good to know on a Sunday when it's going in. So hoping Decky's still around with that account. As far as I'm aware, with the name change, he should still be good to go, I'd say.
We'll go into that later on, Kiki. We'll delve more into your question after that. Ross, you got something?
I have, hold on, what do we have here from, I think this is Big Damien Cullen from Coolah.
DC. From C.
Now of age and ready to play senior ball for the rugby club, and we're very excited. Damien asked a question, I wonder how long this has been on his mind for. Who is Benny the Bull?
Wow. Benny the Bull's not around anymore.
No, Benny, I think Benny, I couldn't, I think Brian was his name, wasn't he? He's a real character.
I was going to say something awful. Please don't do it. I was going to say, Benny the Bull once arranged for me to milk a cow blindfolded.
Oh, that's a strange one.
It's on Damien's mind. Yeah, I know. Yeah. What's his name?
No, I know him. Brian, I can't remember his second name now. But like, I think when he walks around town now, people just, well, Benny, it's
yeah,
not
that's
a,
it. Yeah, 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 yeah.
How are you, Benny? Even my father, I remember we were driving by him one day and he gave him a well, Benny. I don't even know how he knew that. But Brian's a character. Great man. He donned the old Benny the Bull
suit.
That's the word I'm looking for. Jeez, I'm struggling.
Would you wear clothes under the suit? It'd be hot.
That's a question, yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? Obviously, we're hoping to go pitch side later on in the season. Like,
yeah. Where is the suit now?
I always thought it'd be a great fancy dress outfit.
Yeah. Sorry, Ross, go on.
Thinking that potentially when we go pitch side, we could have a Sligo Way podcast mascot.
Oh, yeah.
Some sort of a possum.
The pangolin.
The Sligo Way pangolin, yeah.
Damien, so looks like he wants to track down Benny the Bull for good or sinister reasons. I don't know.
Yeah,
he might be looking for a return of Benny the Bull.
Yeah, but we could get a pat.
Damien, shout in what your intentions are for Benny the Bull, please.
We got a petition going there to get Benny the Bull back.
Yeah, it'd be a great sight.
Okay, question from Enda Mitchell. Who was the best player that you played with that didn't go on to fulfill their full potential in respective codes?
I think we kind of had this question.
I think we did. The same name came to me again that I said before, Kipper.
Yeah. We definitely.
I don't mean it sounds harsh saying didn't fulfill their potential.
Yeah, I don't. It's
injuries got Kipper anyway.
Neil O'Brien was fantastic at Gaelic and soccer. That's my one. Ross, you said Stephen Keeney.
I did. But just one other fella I would have loved to see, David McGowan, Shorty. He actually played with La Rochelle, Heineken Cup finalists. But just a lot of injuries and had to retire quite early. But it would have been interesting to see how he would have gone if he stayed injury free.
Our next team in of ours, Edo.
Big man from Ballymote.
Yeah, yep. Sligo under 16 level there.
Pat the Cat.
Declan Rouse. Making people run up sand dunes. That was the end of me in Gaelic, I tell you.
The Boulder House.
Had an interesting trick where he used to show a wristwatch around his wrist, and it wasn't a wristwatch.
What?
Yeah.
go on.
You'd be in the shower after a match and you'd ask him what time it was. He's a wet.
You mean it wasn't a wrist?
No, it was a wrist, but the lad was wrapped around it.
What? I didn't know that's where that was going.
I just remember going, sorry, do you know what the time is? And for fuck's sake.
What? Anyway,
we better move swiftly on.
Jesus. I wasn't expecting that either.
Oh, delete that one.
No.
The wristwatch.
Yeah. One more, lads. It was from...
I think we have a few more, do we?
Well, I've got one more, sorry, from... I think it's Conor Herity on Twitter, or on Instagram. Who are the most hated Gaelic football team in Sligo, and why did you choose St Mary's? That's a bit of a call to St Mary's thing there.
Not a very...
I think he wanted to remain anonymous, too.
Huh? I think he wanted to remain anonymous.
Some mind games.
Sorry, he did write anonymous at the bottom of the
You're
thing.
Just writing out in Rooney's team speech now, so you are.
I didn't say, yeah, for when to play. St Mary's definitely one of my most hated team. Big respect for them. The serious setup there. I don't know who are mine. I suppose the team who beat you the most, so you'd nearly say Tour de Strand. They've knocked us out a couple of times, but...
Yeah, we even had a kind of random underage rivalry with Tour de Strand. We used to beat them a lot in county finals, but then they got their own back one day up and... I think in an under-16 championship semi-final, I still remember it. We beat us by a point, and the whole village was out yahooing. And
they know how to win finals.
They do. In
Ross, finals. Who's yours?
I don't really have one now, to be honest.
Clunacool, you got a bit of a butchering on Clunacool one day, didn't you? Yourself, Owen McHugh and John Griffin were the full forward line.
Yeah, that was a scarring moment for me. Yeah. And for everyone who was there that day.
Oh, sorry, there's more, is there?
Yeah, old friend of the show, Shady McGee's in. Great to have you back, lads. Seeing as you have future Olympian Mona McSharry on the show, I was wondering which former Summerhill teacher you think would be the best 100-metre swimmer, breaststroke, etc. That was regards Shady McGee.
Oh.
Well, I think, realistically, I'd say Pat Toohey would swim the 100 in 25 seconds flat.
He'd dominate the pool, yeah.
Old teachers? Take it back to our day, I don't. I'd say Tommy Mack could be useful.
Michael Murphy, because he's slippery like an eel. Father Crying used to live beside the pool in Summerhill. So you would imagine he was in and out every night. So I'll just go Father Crying.
Yeah, Father Crying there, too. Great chat.
For his distance from the pool. Ross, any grammar teachers who'd be handy in the pool?
Well, that's right, Ross didn't go to Summerhill.
No, my sister's only found this out 2 weeks ago somehow. Yeah, and they said, then I found out, and she couldn't get over it. And she goes, why are you friends with him so? I was like, why indeed?
Yeah. Big question. Now,
who's in the grammar, Ross, that could... Tommy Craddock is the Pat Toohey off the grammar,
yeah,
isn't he?
Give it to Craddock here, all right, yeah.
Carol Neal's up there too.
Yeah. Jeez, even when you think of the names, Pat Toohey, good solid, you know, one of the lads.
Strong.
Tommy Craddock. Tommy Craddock.
Yeah.
TC actually listens to the pod, I believe, so Bertie, watch your mouth.
No, TC. Former Clara manager.
Did great stuff with us now when he was our
and Robbie, of course. Coach. Any more correspondence?
There was one from home, Stephen Holm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great to have you back, lads. Will Murty ever be clean shaven again? Also, what's your worst ever bad beat from the bookies?
Oh, I could. I suppose on the cleanly shaven one, I just decided I wasn't going to bother shaving there in the first lockdown, or in the last lockdown. So I last shaved on New Year's Eve, but I had a wee trim there when I got the haircut.
Noticed that, yeah.
We'll see. We'll rock it out for 2021 and see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of clean shave myself, but not a fan.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A clean shave, Marty.
No, I don't think I've been. I've been razor shaved in a long time. Yeah. Always a bit of stubble.
Maybe the wedding day, Ross. You might get the razor.
Yeah. Oh, I actually love to have a mustache for the wedding. I'm just thinking, it'd be something that would have been done back in the day. Yeah. Maybe you're going to try and bring it back.
Pretty intimidating.
It definitely won't go down well. But look, we'll negotiate that.
And bad beef from the bookies.
Oh, I have about 1,000 stories about bad beef from the bookies. One that immediately springs to my mind. I remember I used to do the EuroMillions in the bookies. You can do the EuroMillions in the bookies rather than the shop. The odds are good or whatever.
Yep.
And the whole time, when I started working in the bookies, used to back 4, 7, 11. This three combination, 4, 7, 11. So I remember asking someone what the story was with it, and apparently it was an old perfume or aftershave or something like that. So I said, because I thought a 4, 7, 11 never comes out, it'll close us down. So I said, I better have a little fun just in case. So I started doing them. So about 6, 7 years passed anyway, no signing the three numbers. And on the Tuesday, you do them now Tuesday and Friday religiously every week, so I was having €4 on them a week at 1,500 to one. And the Tuesday after the first fly, desperately hungover. Sure, I'm not going to town. I leave them today. Sure enough, the one time, Jesus. You don't do them. That was €6,000 down the drain. And I had to put up with people coming, because everybody they come into the bookies doing what I used to do them. And they all come in going, oh, where you got your numbers? You got
the great week for the town was extended.
Yeah, that was, it was horrendous.
I remember, and Brian Hines remember this as well, it was, I would say 1,004. Maybe 2005, the qualification for the World Cup, and we'd done a 20-team football accumulator with 20, I think you may have told you this before, with 20 international teams, and €20 on each, so €40 on, and all were in, and Ireland were playing Israel at home on Lansdowne Road at the later game, and that keeper for Israel absolutely played puck, the biggest bit of shithousing that was ever seen.
Did Ireland go 2-0 up?
They were up, yeah.
2-0 up, yeah.
And it was outrageous. I don't even know what would have come in. It was a 20-team.
I remember that. That's horrendous.
Imagine Heinze losing the plot.
I think it was the day Sligo played up in... Sligo were definitely playing in a qualifier as well, I think, up in the park. But yeah, that's all I have, really.
Well, it was yesterday.
Long time ago
Southampton let me down for a few pounds yesterday, and Gary O'Hare called it out early in the day when I showed him the bet. He said, Southampton aren't going to score a goal, and he fucking gave it the kiss of death.
He knows his sense.
And now both teams, it was a bad day all around for you yesterday, Ross.
Yeah, we'll bring it up now, I suppose. Relegated from the Cordner Shoes SSL Premiership.
Fantasy
football, of course. Yeah. David Curley really fucked me over in the last day. So.
Oh, they're already relegated David Curley, I might add. Yeah. Bottom of the table.
Nothing to play for.
Nothing to play for.
So, yeah, I suppose congratulations to David Rooney, but I don't know if it's been officially announced yet.
It's basically, if you don't know, a head-to-head league is done just in a league format, win, lose, draw. But Rooney and Seamus ended up level on points.
Yeah.
And
Rooney is 10 points more in aggregate.
Yeah, he had 10 points more of an overall score. But Gary Clancy's gone looking back through the rule book. So,
Seamus has beaten him head to head twice that year.
Exactly, yeah. So, I personally.
Seamus's title.
Yeah, I'd put it head to head. I'd put it head to head.
So, we'll announce it now. Seamus is the champion
of this league that I just heard of. Okay, that's correspondence, is it? I want to give a big shout out to Luke Chadwick, lads.
Yes.
Friend of mine, met Luke while he was on trials at Macclesfield so many moons ago. No, me and Luke were with the under 12s at Macclesfield before he went to United and I went back to Strand Celtic. So I kind of kept in touch over the time, and he said a nice note for us there on the pod. He was
lovely.
He was in bed,
yeah,
he was, and he had an Australian accent for some reason as well. So, but friend of the pod, Luke Chadwick.
Miles better than he did during his playing days.
He did, yeah, he does. And he's just a great guy all round. Premier League champion. Multiple Premier League champion, I think he's two. So we'll hopefully hear more from him in the coming season. We probably won't, though. right, we're going to go back with GAA this time.
Chance here for Desi Sloan. Can he score? Yes! Sloan goal!
Okay, lads, the GAA season resumed there 2 weeks ago for the Sligo footballers. They beat Leitrim, put up a nice score against them, 2-19. And then yesterday, it was absolute heartbreak, lads. And if you're watching it, 3-13 to 3-12 defeat against Antrim. Definitely should have got at least a draw out of it, I think.
Yeah, that stream wasn't happening.
No.
Stream was causing
big
havoc,
shout to GA Go. Wasn't too happy. I watched it back, though. Not too happy with GA Go after the stream. What a time to go down. They were 1 point up with 5 minutes left and the GA Go stream went down. I didn't know Niall Murphy got sent off until a bit later in the game. but there were three down, 2 minutes in injury time, and then I would have said, oh, this game is gone. And then to get back level with a penalty from Nathan Rooney, that new rule that got the penalty, I wouldn't be too gone at that. But Antrim's goal before that probably...
Yeah, explain that rule to me a bit, actually, no.
I will, and I'm not fully gone myself. But then at 3-12 apiece, I would have said, that's it, the ref might blow it up here. But he obviously took into account the delay for the thing, and Antrim got up and Paddy couldn't even score the point. But could we foul them way out the pitch? I don't know. So it's disappointing there. So it's Louth next week in a winner takes all.
Shaping up to be a good weekend for Sligo Sports. The clean sweep.
It was nearly the clean sweep. Yeah, I'll go into that in a second. 3-6 from place balls, 3 penalties. So I don't know. We're scoring all right, I suppose. 2-19 and 3-12.
They're big scores to be putting up. Like, you know, even if, you know, it seems to be a kind of common theme around. Yeah. But they're two big scores. Like, you know.
Yeah. Loud bet Leitrim yesterday by 9 points. I was chatting a few of a fella that used to play County, and I was having a good chat about him. He's saying, he feels like Sligo could go full Fermanagh-esque from a few years ago, nearly. Not as, maybe, as much as Rory Gallagher did with Fermanagh, but defensive system, like, to stay in games. I kind of agreed on one thing. I think there's a forward line there of players. If you put 11 back, nearly, I know it's a bit extreme, but you had Niall Murphy, Sean Carabine, and the likes of Liam Gaughan and whoever else up front. If you kept them four up, I think you'd trouble a lot of teams, but... just look a little bit open, but I don't know. I'd say that will come. You know, the management team's only had 2 games, but so it's loud next week. Sorry, Ross, onto that rule.
Yes, explain, please. If you can.
It seems to be completely up to the referee's discretion now. Random curse there for no reason.
We curse.
So if a player is tripped or taken down to the ground, nearly tackled, while going through a goal, anywhere inside the 20-metre line, it's a penalty and a black card. I don't know if it is a black card, but it's a straight penalty, no matter if you're like outside the 20-metre line. Anywhere inside the 20-metre line. So it's up to the ref's discretion to see
how much of a goal-scoring chance it was going to be.
Yeah, and is there defenders in front of him?
It's open to interpretation.
Yeah, they're putting a lot in the refs these days, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't agree. Like Keane Alley was going through in that for the third penalty yesterday, and he actually managed to offload the ball, so it probably was going to be a goal chance. I don't know who he passed it to, but I think Nate Rooney's inside then. One more pass, I could have got a goal chance, but Antrim probably had 2 or 3 defenders back, and I don't know, is the D included, because it was outside the D. It's up to it. It does put a lot on refs, yeah.
Yeah. It seems to me, I don't know like much about it, but having watched a couple of games, it just does seem, it's a goal-scoring chance, that they're giving a penalty.
And they've changed the advantage rule as well. But did you watch the Kerry Dublin game that was on before that? Kerry, now he'd looked to take a lot of steps. I think it was Darragh Moynihan. He was pulled back, going through on goal. But because he didn't go to ground, it wasn't a penalty. It was just a free. Yeah. So, I don't know, fellas started hitting the deck. There was one Dublin Roscommon last week, couldn't make any sense, but
like, yeah, I seen that one as well. It was
like he was closer to the side than he was to the goals.
Yeah.
So that's that rule, Ross. I don't know. I think it's just for intercounty, but
it's just on trial at the moment.
Just making rules for the sake of it. I think, like, I don't know.
Would have been a good start if they'd got the draw. Would have been a good start to the year.
Oh, would have been. Yeah, Antrim aren't a bad team. Enda McGinley's managed them. Antrim are a good team. So, but look, beat Loud and you're into the semi final of that, and definitely a little bit Loud. Like the draw is pretty tough because Leitrim at home, then Loud and Antrim away. So there's a 2 away games, the 2 tougher probably away games. Yeah, so yeah. No, there's loads of positives. Jesus, 3-12 and 2-19 in 2 games. That's 5-31. It's all right. Matt. Cheers, man. 3-6 in place, balls, but look, scores are scored. Obviously, you have to get them, be in them attacking positions to get them freeze. But yeah, things not looking too bad there for Sligo. Disappointing. I thought a draw was going to be the result there. But anyways, the ladies, but
they're
one from one. I was watching a bit of that. 3-4 to 11 points. A good win. I seen the first goal. I didn't see the end of the game, but they're off and running after a bad year last year. So that's huge for them, actually.
Good start
for the ladies. And the hurlers started on Saturday, bet Armagh 224-118 in the league. So they're keeping up
picking up from where they left off.
Jesus Christ. I better go back to the elocution list. They're picking up where they left off last year in the league terms, beating Armagh, who had bet in Croke Park a few years ago, 224-118. Jared Kelly Lynch scored 1-9 and 1-10 in that. He's not with the Footballers this year, so that's a loss for the Footballers. But yeah, that's another good result for them. So everything looking up for them. I thought Sligo were going to do the business in the football as well. That would have had it Rovers Friday night, Hurlers Saturday, ladies, and Sligo on Sunday, and Mona as well in the pool, but unfortunately not. The draws for the club league were made, so interesting stuff there. They've split the league in the clubs. So Division 1 is 19th, for example, and that's been done into a 4 and a 5, where you play everyone once. Top team in the 5-team group goes straight to the final, bottom team to relegation playoff, and so on in the 4. I think it's the same in Division 2, and I'm not 100% sure what Division 3 looks like in that. But
have they given dates?
First, the Kiernan Cup is on the Bank Holiday Monday.
It's the first day.
Pre-military round, yeah. And then the Saturday, the quarterfinals of them warm-up competitions drawn. Then the next week, the 19th, is the first round of leagues. So we know County Boys for that because June 26th is Sligo Mayo in the park, the big championship game. And then it's back on the week after the Sligo game, Well, depending on how Sligo do against Mayo, the league is. So they've no championship draws made yet, but it's the same structure. So it's good to have it out there that this is what's happening. And rocking on, every club.
Be busy
is
when you're back, so.
Huh?
Be busy.
Yeah, busy already, but busy, yeah. So it's good. I think things are quite bright on the GAA scene, lads. You know, back with a bit of soccer, a bit of football.
Yeah, we go football.
We'll come back with that, so. Okay, lads, welcome to Football with Ronan and Ross. We're not going to delve too much into Rovers, Murty, because as we're recording,
Rovers and Shams,
they're playing Shams tonight in an hour's time, and it'll be old. Whatever we say, it'll be old. But
we get into them next week.
Very happy at the start of the season, everyone.
Unbelievable, yeah, great start.
Fantastic.
So yeah, look. Big game tonight, as you say, when this goes out.
I think people were half sensing we would have to start when you've seen the signings that come in, though.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I still,
I know it's probably, probably over expectations.
Yeah, but I suppose one thing is that, Shams finally lost last week, and Pats have had a great start. So, you know, even we've had a couple of bad results in there, but yet, do you know what I mean? It still goes down as a great start. And, at the minute, I'd always be wary of, and I always think our success the last time came from consistently qualifying for Europe. It's such a difference to the budget. I always, that's the gap I kind of look at the minute is what our gap is to fourth. Fourth should get you the cup depending on, or fourth should get you Europe depending on who wins the cup. But that's kind of the gap I'm watching at the minute. And if we go and win tonight, then maybe we can start looking in a different direction. Now, look, I still think Shams' squad is very strong. It's a lot stronger than ours.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bringing in Richie Town now in July. Do you know?
A man called in to Stephen Kenny's squad today.
Yeah, Mandrew was called in, all right, yeah. Which is good to see, to be fair. He's fucking popped up with a few last-minute goals. It's broke our heart already this year. But I think there's no good reason why we can't, even if Shams do win the league, there's no good reason why we can't be best at the rest.
Definitely not.
And sure, let's see what happens tonight. If we win, I think we might have to start adjusting. From, I suppose, July the 1st, they'll be able to sign a couple of players again. So, you know, if you're there within striking distance, I might just go.
Sorry, not won't go off the roads, but huge news about the new development.
Unbelievable, yeah. Yeah, it's, could you imagine it? Like, it's,
Unreal.
I do think about it from like
I'd be half skeptical on it. It's like, oh, that could never happen. Like, just think, like, because I know that, but it'd be saying it seems so ambitious, yeah, and it'll be so unbelievable for not to the old phrase for the town or for everyone like that. It's nearly unimaginable. It'd be unreal if it happens.
Fair play to them, they've obviously put massive work together to this development stage from concept. So fair play to them.
Be a lot of fundraising we've done. There was a man giving suggestions out on Twitter. You were very amused by suggesting Carvery dinners could be the way to raise the money.
Oh, I spent the whole day laughing at that fella. Honestly, it's a laugh when I think about it. So yeah, to finance the 17 million, I think that we're going to need for this. One genius on Twitter the other night suggested that we should start selling Carvery during the week. So.
I imagine like something like the Phoenix Club in there.
But I wouldn't mind. It was literally just...
He doubled down on it. Yeah. He doubled down.
It was about 15 minutes after the announcement and this guy is like shouting about Carvery.
He said Carvery, some Carvery places are selling for millions. Where? Ferrix there on the way to Dublin.
Oh, I still can't get over it. But
everyone loves Carvery.
He doubled down in the end and Dominic Story and our friend March Holy Honda had a good couple of laughs about it. But no, seriousness about the development. It is ambitious. It's kind of hard to get your head around, but I think it's now people want to get at their local politicians and it's going to need help from the council.
Relocate Molly Fulton's in there now.
But that'll be 10 million, according to this fella. But the politicians, the council, it's going to require funding and Rovers are aware of that. So, but look,
the support is there though, isn't it? Everyone's
if you don't aim high, you don't get anything.
No, there's great things going on up there at the minute.
Yeah,
so,
it is. It's a good time to be a Rovers fan. Maybe not such a good time, is that the right way of saying it, to be a junior soccer fan?
Well, no, look, there was...
Twitter gate.
There was a bit of acrimony now about the whole...
if I get this right, you spearheaded a group with Carlton United trying for a breakaway league.
Yeah, we were the real story of that Super League. No, look, what happened was that basically there was a couple of dates put forward as to when we would return. Some clubs weren't in the position.
Yeah. Which is understandable.
Oh, completely fair enough. Like, I totally understand it. So there was 2 days before. There was a June the 7th or 10th day put forward. And there was just totally voiding last season and starting afresh in August. So eventually the August votes won through 12 to 10 in the end. Again, look, you know, I remember the time that day being angry, but I do get where clubs were coming from now. Like, you know, it was a lot to try and go back in June.
I honestly probably would have sided with that opinion.
The August?
Yeah.
Would you? Yeah. Look, we were kind of, like, our players had basically...
Just weighing it up.
I had to get back with it. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, no, look, again, you'd have no issue. I totally understand where the clubs are coming from. We had a bit of a brainchild anyway after the 12-10 defeat that maybe we could play a couple of cup competitions. And now in the end, what's actually happened is that all the clubs are free to enter. There's going to be a kind of League Cup warm-up competition.
Yeah.
I think that's going to go on from maybe the 10th of June. I think the Connacht FA have said that all leagues have to be done by July the 22nd. So all, if you're continuing on...
Oh, last year's. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I assume that'll probably follow the same for the League Cup. And then he's talking about starting the new league on August 23rd. I think what's actually happened in the end is probably the right... It's the best option.
Yeah.
All clubs are entered. The league has put this on for free. All clubs are invited to enter. I think actually tonight is the last night.
Do you have any idea how many have entered?
There's only 5 clubs hadn't entered up to last night. So I'd say there's probably a couple more to get in. And he said, I think there should be fixtures out later in the week, so we know more next week on that. But in the end, look, there was a lot going on Twitter that day.
I think it spiraled out that fellas kind of forgot what their point was.
Look, there was a lot going on, but I think in the end...
All parties wanted people to be back playing football, they were both looking for the common goal.
And now I think you've got both options. If you felt maybe because of maybe GAA or something that your club couldn't get back, or if there was finance issues, that this competition is now free. And like it'll serve as a good... preseason.
Gee, and junior soccer run every year together.
I know,
argument is kind of.
And I'd say the championship's going to run into the new season now. So
yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, but it does every year. Like I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Look, we've a couple of lads to play Gaelic, but I think now it is the best option that if clubs don't want to enter, they don't have to. They can come back fresh in August. But it looks like there's maybe 8 of the Super League teams are definitely in as we speak. And as I say, tonight we know everybody who's entered.
We'll put them up on the Twitter page when the fixtures come out.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it should be during the week, I think. Yeah.
And let's hope the Sligo Rover, Sligo Leitrim District Soccer Twitter page puts them up as well. keep up the good fight, Declan. Okay, Ross, a bit of rugby.
The great bullock of a man, this fella. Gagan, who's all arms and legs. He's like a mad octopus. When he goes like that, he's like a mad giraffe.
Ross, rugby, talk to me.
Yes, Adrian.
Big announcements.
Yeah, a big announcement. But before we get to the announcements, we have to acknowledge Patrick and Jason stepping down.
Okay.
So just to, and to John Keegan as well, who did a massive amount of work. So I just want to say, from myself point of view, thanks to the boys for a massive investment of time and energy into the club. Have to mention big bad Roger Burrows as well. He's stepping down next year from development team as well. Development team is a very hard team to run, and Roger did an unbelievable job, supported by Jimmy Gavin. So all going well. Hopefully Jimmy Gavin and John Kane are going to stay around next year and help out the senior setup. So we're delighted to have John and Jimmy back next year as well.
Paddy's taking up the golf.
Paddy's going to take up the golf a bit now, yeah. But he's also going to stick around and help in a bit of an advisory role for the underage structures in the club.
The old mole in the car.
Which is massive. So it'd be great to get Paddy's acknowledge and experience passed on to the underage structures, which will just be massive for the senior team. Obviously, the more effort put in with the underage structures, with the coaches and the players, then by the time that they all progress into the senior setup, that they're coming in more experienced, rounded players. So that'll be a big body of work that Paddy will still be doing for the club. And Jason as well, he's retiring to that big ice cream parlour in the sky. So best of luck, Jason. Now he'll be hard replaced. So basically, yeah, announcements, quite exciting. We announced this week we've signed Josh Reeves, Kiwi from Christchurch, married to a Brazilian girl and got Brazilian residency as a result, moved to Rio de Janeiro.
Beautiful this time of year. Josh Reeves.
Josh Reeves.
Cousin of Keanu.
Correct.
Godson of Christopher.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
I'm right with that one.
Yeah. Can't think of any more Reeves.
30 caps for Brazil.
Wow.
He's still involved with them now in the South American World Cup qualifiers, so he won't actually be touching down till August. So they've got three test matches before he comes over to Sligo.
Are they qualifiers?
Yeah, qualifiers for the World Cup against Paraguay, Chile and Uruguay. So depending how the team go in those three matches, they'll either be knocked out of the World Cup qualification and their World Cup campaign is over. If they get some wins, they'll progress then to a tournament in November.
Okay.
Which would mean that Josh would be called up for international duty again and would be away for the month of November. So we know that, you know, so that was obviously known when we were in discussions with Josh, and you know, we just felt that it's we'd be able to you know, release him on international duty, and we'd have, you know, plenty of time now to plan for that stage of the season, should Brazil progress to that stage of the season. So
what, there'll be a child knocked down that road yet, I tell you. Sorry, I'm looking out the window here. What are the chances of that? Like, are the
Yeah, so like, basically what happened, so they've had the results haven't been as good as they have been during the last qualification campaign.
Yeah.
But the last time they came into it, they were kind of the underdogs, and they pulled off some shock wins. And they did quite well, so now it's kind of nearly the reverse, that, you know, that they
okay.
On any day anything can happen, so you know, they're definitely in with a chance of progressing to November, so we'll be all watching on with interest, watching those fixtures over the next 2 months. So
nice exposure for the club too, if he does.
Yeah, it'll be exciting for him. But there's a good connection there already. So two of the lads that came over last year,
Pedro Bangalo
and Guilherme Cogueto.
Yeah,
they're also Brazilian internationals. So we've the three amigos now at Sligo.
We'll have to resurrect the Zamba band.
The Zamba band, yeah. So we'll get people on the sidelines there, full Zamba outfit.
Tequila.
Definitely a Mexican chant.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking as well. Some Mexican racist, like, yeah.
I was thinking first of the Steve Martin film.
Yeah. But yeah, so that'd be nice that the three amigos, Samba or FC, will be rebranding ourselves. So the guys have actually played test matches together. And
is Guy still around? Yeah,
Guy is coming back very shortly. He's going to come back and he's going to take up quite a bit of coaching underage.
Okay.
He will be also helping to coach in the club as well at the senior setup.
So that
I'm playing. So
Jesus, three internationals.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and it's great now. So we're about to advertise tomorrow night for a forwards coach. That position is still open. So hoping to secure someone of the caliber in the next month to finish off the last piece of the jigsaw.
Okay.
Looking forward to that. So other little bits of news, Hubert Galvary and Dunica Byrne training with the Irish in their 20s at the moment. So like they've just been in camp now for the last while, but the boys are going quite well. So we're hoping to see how they go, and you know, best of luck to them, and hopefully they can make the Six Nations squad. I think there's about 35 people training at the moment, so you'd imagine that'll be cut down to probably about 26.
Listen, it's what, another 8 months before the Six Nations anyway, so.
Yeah, so I think Hubert's there training as a winger. Even he was kind of in the Connacht Academy, set up as a scrum half, but I think that he's training as a winger with the Irish 20s. Quite a versatile back, and Dunica is going really well. The Irish under 20s coach is Colly Tucker, who's the Connacht
Colly Tucker. Great name.
It's a great name.
Limerick man, yeah. And Dennis Leamy is there as well, actually, but they're
not such a great name.
So look, Dunica's going well in the academy, and he would know Colly well, so you'd hope that he's you'd hope that lads would get in there with the shot with the squad when it's announced. Stephen Cairns, since we last spoke, over at Bristol. He was 24th man last week. So I think that season's nearly coming to an end, but he's just chatting to him there. And
we might get him on the pod before that.
We will. Hoping to get himself and
Conan the Barbarian.
Conan and Killian on and just have a chat to the boys about their careers. They've all kind of gone in different directions, but it would have started off. Sligo was the common denominator, so a few characters in that group. So it'll be good to chat to them as a bit of a standalone.
I seen off the pitch, you were included in the Rovers kind of expansion.
Yeah, so
details,
I
what,
think that
what
might
story
have been,
there.
I think it might have been overstated a little bit in the media.
Right. Okay.
We expressed an interest in playing in there from a Sligo Rugby Club point of view, and we wrote a letter saying that we would love to explore options to play matches in there.
Right.
Separately, Tommy Higgins and the Rovers board have been speaking with Willie Rowan, the Connacht Rugby CEO.
I thought you were going to say Willie Rogers. He's not the moderator, is he?
No.
Okay.
No.
What's the moderator's name again?
Richard Doyle.
Doyle.
Good name for a moderator.
A good administrator. But Willie Rowan has been separately speaking with them from a Connacht Rugby perspective. But I think the gist is that they might not be able to facilitate senior Connacht matches, but there could be a chance of under 20s, Connacht A, Irish 20s. That's just a... So we'll let them...
Especially big enough.
I was talking to the lads about this the last day we were at the rugby club, and Paddy reckoned that they talked about playing games in before, but the behind goal area wouldn't have been big enough.
Yeah, well, you see some very small ones at the moment, but I know from our point of view that we've definitely expressed an interest in potentially playing a cup final there, or playing, you know, an AIL match against one of the more bigger named teams. So I think it's kind of that we've stated a formal interest to explore possibilities kind of from, and we can only kind of talk from the rugby club point of view, and then they're in separate discussions with Connacht Rugby.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting now. Yeah, it'd be nice. But you know, on those big days, you get everyone back into your bar, and that's where you make the money. So we'd have to definitely get some sort of a bus, or else we'd have to charge admission into Mooney's or something. So the new Mooney's cocktail bar. The cocktail bar. Did you see that? And what else do I have in my review now? Ross Mannion was appointed the Connacht Ladies senior head coach as well. So that's a nice appointment from Ross. Ross was our manager before Paddy, so wish him the best of luck with that. And finally, just two Sligo players are playing for the Galway Tribesmen in the Rugby League. So
Galway Tribesmen?
Yeah.
This news has gone over my head.
Yeah. Who are they now?
There's a Rugby League team in town.
They're in Galway.
Well, yeah, but
there was nearly a Rugby League team in town though, wasn't there? In Sligo.
Oh, there was a thought process put into it.
Well, you offered me a position with it.
I did, yeah.
Expand.
What was the name again?
We'll look into that.
The Northwest Warriors.
Northwest Warriors, yeah. We'll look again. Maybe next year we might get
interested on it.
I'm very interested.
Yeah. We'll get you in there, lads, yeah.
next year.
Taco 5!
I'd be a man now. Sorry to go off track here for a second, but in rugby league, they start kicking on tackle one to kind of fuck things up with the opposition. What are they doing? Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it really. So best of luck to the boys.
Who are they, sorry?
Matta and Gormley, Tom Gormley.
Oh.
Tom Gormley. So they're playing a bit of rugby now. They're training right now, and it's a summer sport, rugby league in Ireland.
How would Gormley shape up for rugby league?
Hardy old ball.
Oh, I know that, yeah. It's non-stop, isn't it?
They reckon it's actually you're able to get a breather in it very easily. Like you can just dip out and head out a bit because
at the corner
it rarely goes wide.
So basically, the boys are enjoying it now. They've played it for season two. And I think Matt is actually pushing to get into the Irish Rugby League team.
The Wolfhounds.
What?
No, that's the underage. That's the under 20 team, isn't it? Sorry. There's a nickname on that Irish Rugby League team, which I'll come back with. Yes. Hang on, got a phone here. I'll Google it. You talk amongst each other.
They're actually an all right team at one stage.
Ireland. In one Big World Kearney was playing, wasn't he?
The one World Cup, I think they went about 20 points up on England now. They got beat about 50-22 in the end. But yeah, no, they did. One of them World Cups over, they were playing in some one of them dump towns in England, like St. Helens or, you know, one of them grim northern towns. But that's interesting now.
No! Take it back. The Wolfhounds.
There we go. I know, fine. I had one little quip there.
The Wolfhounds. Sorry, go.
Our seasons didn't get to finish due to COVID, so we just had a bit of a kind of a debrief there at the weekend to say goodbye to everybody. And Paddy gave a bit of a speech, and he named Cal Goddard as the player of his tenure.
Right, very good.
His tenure.
Well, yeah. So he got an unbelievable award for that. It was just a hearty old pat on the shoulder. That's the kudos that every man wants.
How was your debrief? Just a few guys sitting around, was it, or did you have any drinks? Or
no, we just took it easy, shot the breeze a bit.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
yeah.
Didn't look that way from what we were seeing on
Saturday. Not, and two king bear higher weren't far away. That's it, Ross, is it?
That's me.
Okay, lads, are we doing the dancer on our first night back?
I haven't thought about that either.
I think we'll have to skip it, will we? You were going to give it to the man, the Carvery man.
Yeah, and then, Billy Brennan had a hole-in-one in Strand Hill the other day.
Billy Brennan's the dancer.
He was creeping up there, yeah. He was actually 4-under after 3, so he was. But I'll keep that nomination for next week. Okay. I think the Carvery guy would have...
Yeah.
The Carvery guy would have won it this week anyway.
Okay.
A sensational shot.
And just got a new follower on Instagram there. I see Wendell.
Wendell?
Who's that?
Wendell.
I don't know who that is, mate. Wendell Saylor, the rugby league player, because we're talking about rugby league.
Yeah. Before we go, I think that's all.
We're in a bit of a rush this weekend.
We're
on Acast now, Ross. You're the technical man.
Hosted by Acast. Yeah, so they just kind of consolidate everything for us, give us a nicer platform, and
so there may be a few advertisements on our podcast.
Maybe a few more advertisements. So. Hope that people don't think we've sold out too much.
No,
we've got to pay the bill somehow.
We have sold out though.
We've absolutely sold out. Yeah,
but look,
cash money,
sue us. That's it, lads. That was enjoyable.
The lock of the week is gone. We'll leave it for a while. We haven't thought it through. I've not
up and down. Yeah, up yeah. And
we
down.
Could
go ahead.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's
going on,
man? No, we're still recording.
Okay. We're still recording, Mert.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. We'll get back with all them regular.
Yeah, they're back next week.
I'm interested to hear what Merty wanted to talk about. Yeah. Hand over the microphone there. So, some sort of scam.
Oh, for the mic, yeah.
Actually, I've been talking to some Russians. They've got some data to sell. cryptocurrency, yeah.
No, back with all the regulars next week as well, and it's great to support back, lads, that the three ones we were supposed to focus on, the soccer, GA, rugby, but we had Mona as well, so there's way more out there.
We're going to do a bit more also as well, the All-Stars, the basketball, reach out to them, we're going to feature them quite a bit when their sport gets up, it won't be for a little bit while, they're just doing a bit of training during the summer, but we're going to kind of give a voice to the
Sligo
other, to the other mediums. Yeah, yeah. I've reached out to the Sligo Cricket.
We touched base with the Cricket Club, contact Sonny on that. So we're eager to get on board.
The Cricket Club, yeah. So if the boys in the Cricket Club Facebook page are watching this, get back to us, please.
Reply to your bloody messages. Okay, lads, that's it.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Ciao.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walk your hand in one second.
The whistle is gone. And Sligo Rovers are the champions.
by the river side, it can match the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Gary tried to and drive the clean out over the fence. Oh, he's a piece of carnage. Jesus,
in the bookie shop, I don't.